mean, it's like when Roddenberry came out and said it's Trekkers, not Trekkies, and they're like, no, it's Trekkies. He's like, I invented you people. It's like that.
Oh, is that why people started? I thought that the reason why people started to want to be called Trekkers was because Trekkie had like negative connotations, and it doesn't really make any sense to me why you would just change what you would call yourselves, but
right. I think Trekkie sounds cooler than a Trekker.
I like Trekkie better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. What does Gene Roddenberry know?
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
It's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going? Hello, geek boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. After a long absence, I'm back to shed greater light upon this horrible podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
Ouch.
We won awards, Amanda. Awards.
For those who don't know already, that was Justin, and we're also joined by our senior editor-in-chief, Dave.
Yay! And
how are you guys?
Fabulous.
How are you?
Ooh, I'm good. We are also joined this week by a very special guest, our new friend Jonathan Bigelow, who writes a daily webcomic called Stairwell. That's at stairwellonline.com. And how are you doing today, Jonathan?
I'm good.
That's great. Why don't you tell us in your own words what your comic Stairwell is about?
50 words or less.
Oh, well, somebody better do the counting while I do the talking. Just tell me when to shut up. Stairwell is about a guy named Norman who talks to himself. It's represented in the comic with a manifestation of his brain, and I mostly try to leave it up to the reader as to whether or not he is actually there, or you know, it's an actual representation, or if he's crazy enough that he's actually seeing it. The comic gives me a lot of really unique opportunities for narratives, because on a comic strip, you know, you can't have a comic strip with dialogue between two characters if you have less than two characters. And for me, I really have just the one character that I mostly use, and he has to talk to himself, and it creates all kinds of strange possibilities, because obviously if you're talking to yourself, you know what you're going to say, and you know what you know when somebody is, you know, not telling you the truth, if you're not telling yourself the truth, stuff like that. So it's mostly a comic about a guy who talks to himself, though. There's the short version.
I do also appreciate that you use some French in the description.
Oh, yes. How do you say too slow for a comeback? Yes.
Yes, it's pretty much the what it means. You know, it's thinking what you should have said after it's too late, right? That's the basic translation of what that is, or what that means in Americanese. So it was the idea of thinking to oneself later, what the heck were you doing? You should have done this. And that's what I based the strip around. I think I've only ever actually used that exact thing in one strip in the very, 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 very beginning of the series. It might have been the second one. And I haven't used it since. But it's still, based on that idea, that's where it came from.
Now, this is a daily webcomic, and how many days in a row have you gone?
560, 570? It's 560 or 70, something like that, somewhere in there.
What?
Even on the weekends?
What?
Every single day. I have not missed a day.
How many do you have in your back pocket?
I have tomorrow's.
Oh.
And that's because I was finishing it up while I was waiting for you guys to call me here.
Oh.
So it's not, wow. I'm not very far ahead. I've been far ahead a couple of times. The problem is anytime you got a weekend plan, you know, it's just gone again. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I was ahead by about 6 days, and I had to use 5 of them for Emerald City Comic Con between the 2 setup days and the 3 days at the show. I just had no time for anything resembling drawing.
Now, are some of these like real life experiences? Is his brain, is that one of your friends or your cat or anything like that?
No, and I've been very careful. I write some things that I say, and I'll be like, that's funny, that'd make a good comic strip. But for the most part, these are not necessarily things I am thinking or saying or doing. It's just things that I think will work for what this, for lack of a better way to put it, the story I'm telling, the situation, you know, Norman's situation. I learned in my last comic strip that I didn't really want to have a lot of comic strips based on people I knew, because then people get angry when you don't use them or you use them the wrong way or, you know, and I was like, not doing that again. So, no, not really.
That's when you just say, back off, man. I'm an artist.
This is my vision. This is
my book.
Right. Speaking of books, you actually had a book at ECC.
Yes.
Well, just tell us about that.
That's my first book. It's called... Oh man, I just blanked on the book. It's All in Your Head. It's the volume 1 of my book. It has most of the first year in it, and there's going to be a volume 2 late this year, early next year, that has basically up to, well, I'm still working on the stuff that'll end up in that one, but it's I'm really proud of it. It's in full color, so it's beautiful. It's exactly like you'd see it on the site, except in almost better detail, because it's just, you can get real, you can just put it in your face and absorb it in your face. Real, I guess you could do that with your computer too. But
how can people get their hands on this book?
The book is available on Amazon.com if you search Stairwell Comic. It is also available on my website, a little cheaper, honestly, if you want to know the truth. And I can I have the option of signing those ones and sending them out to you. So the best place is Stairwell.com, and there's an icon at the top that says store. I also sell the prints that I had at the show there, too.
So back to Norman. Is he ever going to name his brain, or would that take away from the idea that, you know, is he really talking to his brain, or does he really in fact see his brain, or is it all in his head?
Right. So I did, when I was planning out the series, when I originally created it, I gave him a name, and I can't recall what it is now, so I'm sorry for that. But he definitely had a name, and he had a very, like, character... He was his own character. Like, not only did he have a name, but the original opening series, I had like a 3-week opening series that I had written down on paper but never drew, that was introducing the concepts behind why his brain is here and, you know, what hit the brain's goals are for him and everything. And I showed that to some people, and everybody was like, this is terrible. Don't do this. And I got to thinking about it more, and I'm so happy that I listened, because it's so much better with the vagaries of it. I want the reader to decide, is he there, is he not? And so, to me, I will never refer to him as anything. I never have even referred to him as brain or anything. Like, I've made a couple of brain jokes, like I did on Halloween last 2 years ago. He was dressed up as a zombie, and he was going, brains, chasing down his brain. And Brian was like, you know, I hate that. And so I make a couple references to it like that. But other than that, I never even say, he's never like, hey, Brian, what do you think? So probably not. I like the idea of the vagueness of it. And also, I like that there was never a real intro for it, because now someday I can jump back and I can show you what child Norman looked like with talking to child Norman's child brain. And there's no limit. I didn't box myself into a corner early on, and so I'm pretty happy about that.
Right. I personally like the idea that Norman legitimately thinks that he is talking to his brain, and that his brain is sitting there right beside him. I think that's more fun.
Yeah, and that's how I write it. That's how I would read it and how I view it too. But I could see the argument could be made that he's just sitting alone at the table and just thinking these things too.
Right. Which is fine.
Yeah. If that makes it more relatable to somebody, then they can by all means read it that way, and I'm not going to judge them for it.
And like, I, not to compare you to Calvin and Hobbes, but I always liked it when like his parents see them playing together, you know, the tiger is just, you know, all limp and stupid or something like that. You know what I mean? It makes perfect sense. Like, here's this wonderful world that the child has developed, and, you know, shame on anyone else who's not a part of that.
No, absolutely. I'm certainly not offended by a comparison to Calvin and Hobbes. It was one of my absolute favorite strips growing up, and I, that was one of the things I was going for. I was going for a little bit of Calvin and Hobbes, like the imagination and the is he there, is he not there, the mystery of it, I guess, mixed with a little bit of like Peanuts's like depression, not depression, but you know how they're a little bit depressing. I was trying to go for a little bit of that, and I draw very similarly in style to Foxtrot, so the style is sort of that. So it's an amalgamation of all my favorite parts of my favorite strips, and that's what I was shooting for when I designed it and developed it.
Well, cool. I think it works. I'm amazed.
I know that there certainly will be strips where, I think I've got one or two already, but I definitely want to do more strips too, where we kind of jump to another perspective and you can see Norman just kind of talking to thin air. Mm-hmm. I think that's hilarious. I just haven't come up with really good ways to effectively use it yet, I think, other than a couple spots here and there. I always think that a much more talented writer could do more with the idea than I do. I am a weak writer, but I'm doing better these days, because when you do something every day, you can't help but get a little better.
Now, I know Stairwell takes up most of your time. Is there anything else you're working on right now, or just Stairwell, you're 100% focused right now?
No, Stairwell's it. I always think that I'll design and develop something else. I think maybe there's an end date in the distant future for Stairwell where I say I've said all that I've needed to say or all that I wanted to say, and that it's time to develop something else, because I think as people, we can't stay in the same place too long. We got to keep moving. And so I don't think I want, unless this gets enormously successful, which I'm okay with, I don't see a future where 10 years from now I'm working on Stairwell. I think 3 or 4 years is probably what I got in me, and then I've got to look somewhere else to write something else to write. So I'll always be doodling, looking for my next big idea. I mean, it was an accident when I did this one. I was just doodling at work, and I drew a picture of a guy whose head had flipped back like it was on a hinge. You could see this big hole cavity in his head, you know, and the brain was sitting there. It was on arms and legs. Talking to him, didn't have eyes or mouth. It was just a brain on arms and legs talking to him. And it was hilarious to me, and I developed it from there. I knew I was on to something when everybody I explained it to, I was like, it's about a strip about a guy who sees his brain. I told that to all my friends and family, and everybody just kind of gave me a blank look like, that will never work. And the more I got that, the more excited I got for this, because I was like, I'm going to show them how great this is.
So. We started this new thing where we like to put all of our guests in the hot seat. And prior to the show, I had asked you if there's anything that you know you really love or you're passionate about. And you had mentioned Archer was one of your favorite shows.
Yes.
So I took the liberty of coming up with a couple of questions. And we're going to put you in our little hot seat. And all you got to do is answer these correctly, or you will die a horrible death.
That sounds good.
All right.
Well, part of that.
Right. All right, so are you ready?
Yes.
Which of these is not one of Sterling Archer's biggest fears? Crocodiles, alligators, lions, or brain aneurysms?
Lions.
Very good. Archer is shown to have a scar on his foot. How was this caused?
Oh, I can't remember.
Lana shot him.
Ah.
What does Archer intend his last words to be?
Nope, blanking on that one too.
Fuck you, you douchebags. When Archer worries he might die from cancer, which type does he think he's contracted?
Breast cancer.
Perfect. When he was a boy, who was Sterling Archer's hero?
It was that guy. the mustache. Burt Reynolds.
Archer likes to wear a black one of these while on a mission.
Tuxedo?
Close. Turtleneck.
Suit. All right.
When Sterling recalls a memory from his sixth birthday, what present does he receive from his father?
A stuffed alligator.
Perfect. You're on a roll. What's the name of Archer's revenge movie?
Terms of Enrampagement.
Perfect. And you better get Kenny Loggins on the phone because...
Because you're in the danger zone.
You're way better than I did. I just watched like all five seasons, and I didn't know most of those.
I just rewatched the last one. I haven't seen any of the others for about a year now, so I'm disappointed in myself. I'm going to have to start the series over on Netflix now.
That's
tonight.
Well, very good. Well, thank you very much for sitting in the hot seat.
No, it's my pleasure.
We had a blast.
That was more fun for me, I'm sure.
No.
Normally we just listen to each other. Right. We have someone else to listen to. Someone interesting for a change instead of us jacks.
All right, and then just to remind everybody, you can read Stairwell at stairwellonline.com, and you can also follow Jonathan on Twitter at stairwellonline as well. And then he also has like all of his social links on the comics site too. So, oh wait, no, those are sharing links. Whoops. But anyway, lots of links on the website, sterileonline.com. Go there. All right. So last night was the premiere of a lot of new fun stuff on HBO. Not the least of which was Game of Thrones, which my Facebook and Twitter and everything was just blowing up all Game of Thrones all weekend. So, you know, I'm sure we all sat down really anticipating the start of the new season. And unsurprisingly, there was a ton of exposition because there's a lot of new stuff happening that people might not necessarily be aware of. And so we had to do like all these refreshers that made most of the episode pretty boring and then punctuated with moments of intensely awesome gore. So I ultimately gave it a B+. Because I really enjoyed those moments. But, you know, a lot of the exposition with, like, Daenerys and Jaime was just boring me the heck out.
I didn't mind so much with Jaime. I really liked his scene, especially with his dad. I thought that was really cool. And I really liked how we get to see Jaime realize that Cersei is... not so much the woman that he perhaps fell in love with. She has changed quite a bit. She's mm-hmm. a very bitter woman. And it's not until much later in the books when we get Jaime chapters that, you know, he really starts to see what a horrible person she is. And it really shows how much Jaime grows. And it's really fun watching it as an audience member to see just the expressions on his face when she's like, you know, you took too long. He's like, you know, I had to murder people to get back to you. And she's like, yeah, well, you took too long. And it's like, bitch! You know, I just wanted to, like scream at my TV. I was like, man, what a mean girl. And it was just cool to really to see that.
Could definitely see where Joffrey gets it from.
Exactly. He's a lot like his mother, for sure. But I definitely
that little shit. Ugh, I want to just wipe the stupid smirk off his face.
What'd you think of that statue of him standing on top of that wolf?
That was kind of hilarious.
With the arrows and his little crossbow.
Ugh, he didn't waste any time putting that up, did he?
Mm-mm.
Ugh, and then he just talks about how he like I stopped Stannis and I did this and I did that. You didn't do jack shit.
Yeah.
You were crying and quivering.
And killing hookers.
Ugh. Ugh.
But what'd you guys think of the Hound and Arya?
That was my favorite part. I love Arya so much.
I like that she got Needle back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And recreated that scene with
yeah.
Lumi or whatever.
That was awesome.
That was
salami.
Yeah. That was funny. And then he looks at her and she's already gone. He's like, oh.
Yeah, that was good. God, and like Macy Williams, I gushed about her in my review, but she just brings Arya to life in a way that I never imagined in the book. Like, I mean, Arya is a badass in the book, but the way that Macy plays her, you see that she's kind of like a little bit psychotic too.
I think she is, Dave. I mean, you know, I actually had the benefit of watching the first season of any of the books, and so I always pictured her as Arya. You know, I was lucky enough to have that image already put into my brain, and to me that really helped. So as I was reading, I was able to just kind of see her and how she would react, and it helped me so much.
Yeah, and I had the same thing. I watched the first season before I read the books, and I don't know. I don't see Arya, and it's funny with Jaime. Like, Jaime's one of my favorite characters, but it's for a completely different reason than like most people. Like, most people are like, "Oh my god, he's such a badass!" And like, I like Jaime because he's kind of going almost like a Tyrion. Oh, I don't want to spoil too much of the books, but you know, him losing his hand. You know, he lost the pieces of identity, and it's great to see him. You know, he's seen the other part of the world that most Lannisters haven't seen, and so his story really interests me, and him as a character. But I don't really see him, like a lot of people get excited, like what a badass he is. Tor, that's not what excites me about him. And then same thing with Arya. Like, I just don't. I don't want to spoil what happens in the next two books, but like that is that was probably some of the least interesting parts of the next part of the story for me was. So I don't really see, I don't get excited for Arya is I guess what I'm trying to say. And it's not just because she's a Stark. I know I typically hate all Starks, but I can't say I dislike her. I don't like her and I don't dislike her. And so because I'm kind of neutral, it seems like I don't like her because everybody likes her. And so then I feel like kind of like a dick. Same thing with Daenerys. Like, I have no idea why Daenerys is so popular. She has three dragons and she's boring.
Right. And I agree. I think she's terrible. Daenerys, that is. I really love Arya. But I think with Daenerys, I think that she is just so boring and she doesn't do anything. And even what's the actress's name that plays her on the show?
Amelia Clarke.
Yeah. Yeah, you said that she plays her cold in your review, and I think that that's true. Like, it's almost like she's distancing herself so much that now I can't even connect with her. Like, I'm not interested in anything that she says or does ever.
Definitely. I didn't really get too much into it just because I don't feel like there's really not that much to say about Daenerys, so I didn't want to waste too much space on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, her character is just, I mean, she really does not do much. She gets to Meereen and then that's like it.
Yeah.
For the next three books.
Yeah, it's like orgies and holding court for like the next like 1500 pages.
And it's so frustrating because I like everyone that she's with. Like, mm-hmm. Jorah Mormont mm-hmm. is like one of my favorite characters, and I like Barristan the Bold and, you know, even Dario or whatever. I like everyone that she's with, and she has three dragons, and so I just can't point why I don't like her. Like, she should be interesting by proxy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because she never, I think a lot of the problem with her character is that she never accomplishes anything. And I mean, unfortunately, to get into a little bit of book spoilers, if you don't want to hear this, then skip ahead a little bit. But you know, what little that she does accomplish in freeing the slaves just gets, you know, reversed, and then she's just stuck in this endless tug of war with the lords and Meereen, and it's just so mind-numbing because nothing is accomplished.
Right. She doesn't have goals. She needs to... Originally, her goal was to get to the Iron Throne, and that has just taken a back seat. In fact, she left it at the last fucking rest stop. She just... She got in the car and kept driving and forgot that she was supposed to go across the sea and claim the throne.
Yeah, she becomes obsessed with this idea that she can't claim the Iron Throne unless she learns how to be a ruler, and that's why she just stays in Meereen for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, hello, you're completely forgetting your primary goal, and then you're completely losing steam, and you're probably at this point, like, no one thinks you're going to make it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, they're 4 or 5 out of 7 books in, and she's not there yet.
Randy, what did you take away from the episode?
I enjoyed it, and I have nothing to compare it to since I haven't read the books. So what it felt like to me, though, is it felt way too fast. Like, it felt like the entire thing was over in 10 or 15 minutes. I wanted more.
Oh.
And that's not a bad thing.
Now, did you guys get the impression that we're going to – Joffrey's wedding is going to be next week?
Yes, that's exciting.
I know.
Holy shit. I think that might be faster than I thought. Yeah, I think the wedding might last 2 episodes, though. There's a lot happening at this wedding.
They're also compressing a lot of stuff because so I don't know. Like, the timeline's a little bit different because Jaime actually doesn't get back to King's Landing until after Joffrey's wedding. So, I'm not totally sure what they're doing.
I just want to celebrate with a happy cup.
Cool. I was excited. Mm. I'm looking forward to next week and the rest of the season, for that matter. Yeah.
Oh, and quick thing about, we posted it on the site, but just to reiterate, everybody should watch Silicon Valley because it is freaking hilarious. Especially if you live in and around Silicon Valley. I was laughing my ass off, but also in kind of like a pained way because I know a lot of those people and it hit a little close to home for me.
And you can watch the first episode on geeklinks.com.
Yeah. HBO is like bringing down the Iron Curtain and letting people watch stuff for free without subscribing to their service.
What, did you hear that HBO Go crashed yesterday?
Oh, I got really lucky then.
They're like, wow, we have this many subscribers, but 10 times that amount are watching it on HBO Go.
Right?
We got 20 million subscribers and 200 million downloads. What's going on?
Cool. What else we got?
Awesome.
There's the Sharknado people. They are making a zombie show on Sci-Fi.
Called Zombie-Nado?
Yeah, I don't think so. That would be pretty gross. There's farts flying all over the place.
Like, brain.
It gets, like, distant and close again. That'd be funny. Oh, shit. The Asylum. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called...
They make the Mockbusters.
Z Nation is the name of the show. And Z Nation will take viewers where no zombie has gone before. So, space?
I guess...
I don't know.
A college?
Kinda,
I don't know.
That's kind of what you think when you say where no one has gone before. Yeah. Right? Right?
Except everyone's gone there now.
God.
It's old.
It's not even a thing anymore.
They're going to outer space. Oh. This is like outer space.
I like inner space with Martin Short.
Get up in that.
I don't know. Do we need another zombie show? Probably not.
No.
Will we watch it?
Probably. I don't even think we need the zombie shows that we have.
Oh.
I agree with that statement.
Because now we're going to have 2 Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't around to talk about it at the time, but Walking Dead.
Dang.
Ugh, so over it.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of fuss for not a lot happening.
Whole lot of nothing.
The little train car there that holds all the food. We knew they were eating people. We called that shit. We're still assuming that that's what they're serving, right? Is people?
Some of the greatest people!
Yeah.
That did not even occur to me. Like, that's how little I'm thinking about that show.
You know what's funny is I read your review, and then I looked at the time, and then I looked at the time I texted you. I'm like, it's people, right? And then I was like, oh, shit. She got that from me. Have fun.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I got that from you.
Oh, man, that's totally what I thought it was. I will say that I liked parts of the last 8 stories, our last 8 episodes, but I think it would have been a lot more interesting if they put all of the fun and festive, exciting shit crammed into 3 episodes. It would have been an amazing show. You know, there were parts that were really, really good, and then there were, you know, maybe, I would say 8 to 10 minutes of each episode were fun, but the other 40 minutes were terrible, or 30 minutes were terrible, and you could have crammed that into a couple of episodes, and it would have been awesome.
Could have hobbited that.
Yeah, there's no need for it to take 8 episodes to get to Terminus. That's stupid. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
I mean, in each episode, they could have met up with more people.
Yeah.
But whatever. Neither here nor there. We don't have to worry about it again until, like, September.
October.
Ugh. October. There you go. Even better.
Thank God. Anyway.
Anyway.
Lots of scary stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, a new sci-fi. Sci-fi is ordering lots of stuff.
Monkeys.
Monkeys 12. 12 monkeys again. 12 monkeys.
What happened to that? Wasn't
there? Series.
Wasn't there like a pilot or some shit that they did last year? I remember you writing about this like.
Yeah. This is it. Oh. And now they've ordered a full run.
When do we get to see the pilot?
No, they'll air it as the first episode of the series.
Oh. So will it be 13 episodes?
12.
So they've ordered 12, but I mean the pilot.
It sounded like the pilot. It sounded like it was going to be a full series run of 12 episodes.
Oh, I thought the pilot was like a 90-minute pilot. Maybe they'll only have to make 10 episodes.
Yeah. Well, but it's 2.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that. I like the movie, but I don't ever need to break it up into 12 episodes. It's already like a 2-hour movie that feels like fucking 5 hours sometimes if you're not.
Do you like the movie because it's 120 minutes? Do you want to watch, you know, something that's, you know, 12 hours, right. 8.5 hours, whatever it'll be?
But now I don't even like the movie anymore because Bruce Willis pisses me off. I'm going back on my vote on that movie. I don't like it anymore.
Wait, why does he piss you off?
Oh, he's just a dick, and I didn't know that until like 8 minutes ago. It's just
really bothering. Where have you been?
Well, maybe I was just in denial. I didn't want to believe that John McClane was a dick to everyday people.
I mean, he's divorced.
Yeah.
Doesn't see his kids.
I mean, you've got to know from the get-go that he's just not fun to be around. That's been one of those rumors around Hollywood for decades.
I know. I just never wanted to believe it. And then when I watched that Kevin Smith thing, like, Too Fat for 40 or
something? Too Fat
for 40. Yeah,
that just really bothered me, because you could tell that he really liked Bruce Willis, too.
Too Fat for what?
40.
Oh, okay.
It takes him 2 hours to explain why Bruce Willis is an asshole.
Yeah, it's a question and answer period. And the first guy comes up, asks a question, and then he spends the whole 95 minutes answering one question.
But yeah, that's a shame.
He was scarred.
Yeah.
Scarred for life.
Speaking of scary, Scream TV series getting some updates. Some
boring.
Oh man, I love the Scream series. Am I the only one that likes it?
I like the first one.
First one's good. First one was terrifying at the beginning with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the first time I saw that, I was very scared.
And I like that it brought me 2 scary movies, and then I don't like that it brought me 3 other ones.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy all of them. I don't know.
Scary Movie 5?
No, I didn't like that, but I liked...
Oh, Scream. Okay.
I like Scream, but I like the whole franchise. I like the idea of it. I think it's fun, and I'll always go back to it. But and it was just cool, too. It came at the right time. You know, it was like 1996, and there hadn't been a really good horror movie in a long time, and it made fun of horror movies in a clever way. It had the Dawson Creek dialogue going, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it definitely came out at the right time when, you know, the internet was coming around and people were starting to make fun of pop culture and get real nostalgic for things, and
just at home. And there were 2 killers! Who knew? That was a fun little twist. And, like, Matthew Lillard? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was hilarious.
It's Skeet Ulrich. It's like my favorite scene when they're like wounding each other.
Yeah. It's like, I'm getting a little woozy here. Yeah, shit's funny. Good stuff. Anyway, there's going to be a TV show. Supposedly, Wes Craven's going to direct the pilot, so that's exciting. I mean, this is not news, but there were some, according to, I think, Bloody Disgusting first reported on it, and then from TV Line, they acquired like a breakdown of the series' central characters, and it's gonna kind of have like a Sidney Prescott kind of vibe to it. You know, there's this what do you call it? A 16-year-old beauty who's a little too introverted and intellectual to be a social butterfly. Wow. How about that? It's one in every crowd, isn't there? And then there's this Aubrey Jensen, who is the other chick's former BFF. She's the bi-curious daughter of a Lutheran pastor.
Oh.
Now that sounds hot. She's an artsy loner. That's what it says.
And I guess she's got to be the captain of the football team and a cheerleader, right? Are they all archetypes?
Not exactly. Not exactly. But this girl does dream of being a filmmaker and shares a close bond with a tech genius named Noah. So it's a bunch of smart folk in this show. So they're going to be too clever for the killer, maybe.
Well, here's the real kicker. What networks are going to be on?
I don't know. I think MTV's doing it.
Oh, pfft.
Yeah. But now Noah, he is this creative, brilliant, and tech-savvy kind of guy.
Hack the planet.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's kind of like Randy, but instead of movies. Not our Randy, but Randy from the movie. Well, I guess who's in the movies, too. It's kind of funny. But, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of this guy that sets the rules, the horror rules. I think this guy's going to be a lot like that.
The Jamie Kennedy of the bunch.
Yeah. Encyclopedic knowledge of books, films, TV, apps, etc. How about that?
Nice.
So it's going to be the movie, but without being the movie.
Right.
Different.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Give it a whirl.
I bet it gets hammered. Everyone's going to hate on it.
Oh, yeah.
So speaking of movies, what do you got going on in the movie news, Dave?
Well, I know this weekend was a big weekend for the Captain America there. Now, who here saw Captain America Winter Soldier this weekend?
I did.
Just Justin? Randy, man.
I don't watch movies.
Too negative. Busy.
Too busy touching it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys are probably the only ones. It ended up making $95 million, which was about 50% better than the first Captain America movie. It was also about $11 million higher than Thor the Dark World made, and it was the highest grossing opening in April of all of the time. And so it did pretty well. I did the review. I gave it an A. I think it is an amazing film, and I kind of gave my thoughts last week. So what did you think of the movie, Justin?
I enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun. It felt like a spy movie from like the 70s. It was kind of like a whodunit, can't trust anybody kind of thing. And not that that's, out of the realm of possibility when dealing with the United States government. You know, who can you trust? But even Fury, he's kind of in the dark in this one, so that's kind of cool. You know, a guy that we thought had all the answers is just as clueless as everybody else. And leave it to the captain to bring it all down. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, what I really liked, because lately there's been so much CG action and everything's computer-generated that you a lot of times can't tell what's happening in like fight scenes because like the director insists on getting so close to the action that it's just like blur. And like, this is probably one of like the best fight scene movies that I've seen. And I can't remember the shield is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was so excited. Like every time you threw that shield, I was like, that's pretty cool. And that's coming from someone who like never thought the shield would be cool, but this movie made it pretty cool. And like when he's fighting the Winter Soldier, or at the beginning when they're retaking that boat.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that the boat was the best, one of the coolest parts, because you just was following Rogers along and he was just beating the shit out of everybody. It's awesome.
Yeah, just like no problem, or like when he jumps out of the airplane, and they're like, "Does he have a parachute on?" And they're like, "No."
Yeah, that was cool. And even in the elevator, it's a confined space, but it was a glass elevator, so the camera didn't necessarily have to be in the room with them. It was kind of neat.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that I think, because a lot of people had the same criticism of the first Captain America, and to where this one was funny. Like, it had a lot of funny one-liners that made it fit more with, like, Thor and Iron Man, which have a lot of, funny dialogue. And this one made me laugh a lot, like, in that elevator scene when he finally realizes that, they're trying to jump him because every floor they're stopping and like 10 big thugs come in. Mm-hmm. And then finally there's like 30 guys, like 15 guys around him. He's like, "All right, before we start this, does anyone want to get off?"
Right.
just made me laugh. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I was very excited when I left that theater of how much I liked it. And what it made me think about was, Captain America has the same criticism that Superman has, that he's, too goody-goody and that he needs to change. And, you know, last year we had Man of Steel toward Zack Snyder kind of – this isn't me railing on Zack Snyder again. You know, he kind of changed Superman to try to make him fit in a box, to where this movie, Captain America, affected the change that you would think from a goody-two-shoe type character. He didn't have to muddy himself, and he inspired people like Falcon and stuff to do the right thing. You know, even people that were on the fringe like Black Widow and Nick Fury, you know, he was that symbol of hope. And I think that's kind of what I wanted out of Man of Steel that I didn't get, that Captain America did for me, that he was still so good that people had to rally around him.
Anyway, Captain America did pretty well at the box office, huh?
Yep, $95 million, beat Noah, which made $17 million, so bit of a gap there. Now, I gave it an A. What would you give it, Justin?
Captain America?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd give it an A. Easy. Easy. Now,
where would you rank it amongst all the Marvel films?
Ooh, that's a tough one. So I really enjoy the first Iron Man quite a bit. So I'd probably do Iron Man, Avengers, then Winter Soldier. So it'll probably be third. Probably my third favorite.
Yeah, I think I put it fourth. I think I put Thor over it, but I think I could swap them easily enough.
Yeah, it would probably just depend on the day, I guess. Yeah, I liked both Thors though too. I really liked the Dark World. Yeah, I thought that movie was cool.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It's a pretty good film. Pretty good piece of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
It's folks at Marvel. They know what they're doing. That's why their movies make $1 trillion.
Yeah.
I could have done with less Natalie Portman.
You shut your mouth.
Her character is completely superfluous.
Jane Foster had the ether in her. They needed her.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why. If the ether had been in... The ether could have been in anybody, and it would have been the same movie.
Mm. Not Kat Denning. That would have got irritating.
Even Rene Russo was badass in The Dark World.
And you hate Rene
Russo. I know, and I was just cheering her on in that. She had a really good scene, man.
Yeah, she
did. I did like that it was almost exclusively on Asgard.
That was cool, too. At least it was away from Earth for a lot of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. They got the monies. They got the budgets.
Yeah.
And it's important to show just how big, you know, this universe is, especially after tapping into that with the Avengers.
Yeah.
And then going into Guardians of the Galaxy. It was fun to see other worlds.
Yeah, and Thor's got such a good tone as far as, like, mixing, like, action with humor. But, I mean, Iron Man, it's really just Robert Downey Jr. just being amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that of the franchises, Thor has the best handle on, like, mixing the comedy with the action. Because it makes me smile. But yeah, Captain America, Winter Soldier, check it out.
Yeah, that's good.
Loved it. Now, a lot of things that I'm not sure if I love or not. Did you guys see that they confirmed that Chewbacca was going to be in Star Wars Episode 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Peter Mayhew will return as the world's most famous Wookiee.
But what if he's just at the beginning and dies like you want him to?
Then I'll jump him down in my seat and I'll be excited. I'm not saying it's bad. Like, you know, it's kind of like Harry Potter. There's the books and the movies. That's how I'm going to look at the expanded universe. Oh. Like Episode 7 on, you know, there's the books and there's the movies.
Before the show, you said
there's
that
the
you
movies
were upset.
And then there's fan fiction, which is what the expanded universe is now.
I will have Justin hang up on you, sir. I'm not upset. I'm very passionate about my expanded universe, and I'm just going to have to get over it because I love Star Wars no matter what.
So wait, is he dead in the expanded universe? Is that why you're annoyed? Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, who cares if he's in it or not?
he dies saving Han's kid.
Okay.
And it's very emotional, and it's a beautiful scene.
Doesn't he just not get on a
but,
ship?
Maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll show that theme.
But how does he save him? What does he do? Why can't he survive? Why does
They're evacuating a planet that's about to be destroyed, and Anakin and Chewie are kind of ushering the people into the Millennium Falcon, and they're standing on this piece of land that falls fairly far, and he pretty much throws Anakin in the Falcon, and they take off because there's no time to go back. There's no way they can get the Falcon back for Chewie, and there's no time for them to find some mechanism. I guess they don't have. I don't have rope.
So Anakin is a, it's a different Anakin.
Anakin Solo.
Oh.
On Solo.
Because it worked out so well for the last guy named Anakin.
Yeah.
It'll work out so good for this Anakin.
Oh, he dies anyway?
He ends up dying about 8 books later in the New Jedi Order. A very heroic death. He has a great death scene as well.
What does he do?
He gets the glow and he saves a bunch of Jedi from the Yuuzhan Vong and their deadly Voxen weapon.
What's a Yuuzhan Vong?
They're the they're an alien race from a different galaxy.
They're fan fiction now. That's what they are.
Oh, I will murder you in your. I will not even in your sleep. I will murder you like Arya murdered that guy, and just slowly put a thin knife, a thin sword through your throat.
The toothpick.
A toothpick. Pick my teeth with it.
Chico.
Yeah, the bad guy. But it's exciting news. You know what? It's good to see the. You know, it'll bring back the nostalgia feels for everybody. But you know, on one hand, I'm excited. On one hand, I'm not. And like I just said, I'll have to get over it. I'll have to just separate the two. You know, I'll have my movies. I'll have my books will still be there. I can still read my books, and I'll have 3 new movies that I can be excited about.
There you go.
5 if you count the standalones.
Yeah, I thought there were going to be 3 standalones.
Yeah. Well, right now there's officially 2.
Oh, okay.
So there's 5 Star Wars movies officially. Rumor is that there will be a 6th Yoda film, depending on how the others do.
Or he's just hanging out with a bunch of swamp rats?
Yeah.
No, it would be a younger Yoda.
Oh.
His teenage years.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like going to college.
It's kind of like the Young Indiana Jones saga, Young Indiana Jones Adventures, but with Yoda. Oh, shit. Yoda goes to, like, junior high and, like, fails grammar school.
I can see that. He's a dropout.
Yeah.
He's like a C in English. A little bit of kind of recent breaking news was Mark Webb. You know, they've been talking that he would not continue past The Amazing Spider-Man number 3. And they just recently confirmed that he would not be directing the Sinister Six movie. Drew Goddard, who is writing the screenplay for it, is going to be directing that one and possibly even the Venom movie as well. So a little bit of Spider-Man news for you.
I'm excited for Amazing Spider-Man. Two.
I am as well. I think we've seen a lot of footage from it. I'm kind of nervous. I mean, luckily all the footage looks really good, but there's been like 13 clips and like 6 trailers and 4 teasers, and just hope they're not blowing their load early. Mm-hmm. Ray knows what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it should be really good. But that's really all I have for movie news. I don't know if Randy had a fun list for us.
Oh wait, there was a Goonie news.
There is Goonie news.
Well, why don't we let Randy talk about the Goonie news? That's his baby.
All I know is that Richard Donner was quoted as saying that he is actively trying to get Goonies 2 made with as many of the original cast members as possible. And you know what? I can totally get behind that. It's pretty cool. I mean, the most recent picture I saw of the entire cast together was from a DVD commentary track they recorded probably 5-6 years ago now, maybe longer, I don't know, but they all looked pretty good, and they were all totally willing to do it again, and I'd be super stoked if it happened. So maybe we'll see their kids embarking on an adventure, so it's kind of like a new generation of Goonies. Either way, as long as it has the magic of the original, I'm totally down.
Yeah. I'd be really interested to see what Short Round looks like now. He, like,
quit
acting.
Like, he did, yeah. He's like a stunt coordinator now. So
That means he didn't quit acting. They just stopped hiring him. It's always funny when you see people that, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I just quit the business. And you look at him, you're like, no. They stopped hiring you.
The business quit him.
That's right. He doesn't read scripts. Script read him.
Yeah. Couple of them, you know, like Sean Astin, he's got some Hobbit movies under his belt there, and Brolin, he's quite the A-lister these days.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have a list?
I've got a choice of 2 different lists for you guys.
I'll take number 2.
All right. Number two is the top 10 sword and sandal movies. That's kind of in commemoration of the return of Game of Thrones.
Oh, let's do it.
And yeah, as you guys know, sword and sandal movies or shows are kind of like anything set way back in the day when you would be using a sword and wearing sandals. So without any further
like
ado.
Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess there are some sandals and some laser swords, as good old Uncle George calls them. Fucker, he invents lightsabers and doesn't even call them lightsabers. What the hell?
Wait, what?
He calls them laser swords.
Yeah, if you ever see any kind of interview with Lucas, like during the original trilogy era, and I think he eventually finally came to call them lightsabers.
Yeah.
In the last couple decades, but he always referred to them as laser swords.
Why? Maybe because he would call something a lightsaber, and people would be like, "What's a lightsaber?"
Yeah, it could be.
Or, or they think he's talking about candy. I don't know.
But I remember watching like interviews for like the 95, like when they did the THX upgrade to it. He calls them laser swords there too. And I'm like, if you're any other person in the world, I'd be furious at you. But I can't be mad at you. You invented them.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's terrible.
All right. Quick and dirty list. Number 10. And these goes way back. The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, 1958. Featuring some badass stop animation from Ray Harryhausen, so which is one of the big inspirations for Lucas and all the guys at ILM who ended up going into all the effects for Star Wars. And in fact, we get quite a bit of stop motion animation in the original trilogy,
Which I think looks interest. Incredible.
I thought
Tauntauns were fucking real forever. I was like. What did they do to those camels or whatever?
And the Imperial Walkers are all stop motion.
Yep.
They look pretty rad.
Yeah.
It really is amazing. I mean, if you look at movies made in, like, the 60s that featured any kind of stop motion animation, usually they were, like, creature features, like dinosaurs and shit. They look terrible. They look like they were made by, like, a 13-year-old now. But just 10 years later, you got freaking Star Wars. And it's amazing.
Yeah. And how.
And how. All right. Number 9, Lawrence of Arabia. I wouldn't really consider this a sword and sandal movie because it's a little bit after that, considering it's more like World War I era.
Right. More sandals.
But, yeah. And lots of sand in those sandals. but it was on the list, so hey, why not? And it's a pretty good movie. Another enjoyable older film.
That movie is long, too.
Oh, that is a long, long movie. But it's got a young Alec Guinness in it.
Yeah. Nominated for Academy Award. Didn't win.
That's fun.
Back in the desert.
Yeah. He didn't win until River Kwai.
Number 8, the 1953 version of Julius Caesar. Number 7, Clash of the Titans. And this one was pretty popular when we were kids.
Yeah, I think it was terrible when we were kids.
The effects? They're pretty bad when you look at them right now. But, I mean... It's bad by today's standards, but that's also Ray Harryhausen right there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing that stuff all the way into the 80s.
I think I watched Clash of the Titans after I had already seen Star Wars. I mean, I remember being a kid, though. I mean, it was still in the 80s when I watched it. But I just remember, A, hating every second of it, and B, thinking it looked terrible. Like, I just hated that old feeling. Like, all the act, like the hair... I hated the way everyone looked. I hated their
even costumes. The wardrobe. Yeah, even
the costumes. I hated their costumes, and I hated the way their hair looked.
Yeah,
and even like the audio, it was probably all like that ADR shit, right? Because they were filming out in the middle of fucking nowhere and stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
and it didn't sound right. The audio was terrible, and there was nothing good about it. The
all those terrible
noises, the sword clanking.
Yeah,
it was bad. It was so bad.
Yep, and even after all that terrible stuff we just said about it, I really want to watch it now because I haven't seen it in so long. Number 6 on the list is 300, Justin's favorite, 2007.
Yeah.
It is a fun one.
It's good. I mean, if you take away all the other movies that copy it, pretty good.
Right. Yeah. It was cool to see the slow motion fast up the first time.
Yeah, like when the two Spartans are doing like that ballet of head chopping shit going on. That was...
Yeah.
But I don't need to see that ever again.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
In every subsequent movie over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, The Ten Commandments, 1956.
Whew, that's a long one.
Are there any swords in that?
Yeah, the Romans, yo.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
Number 4, Jason and the Argonauts, 1963. And that's another fun stop-motion animation movie with Ray Harryhausen.
Mm-hmm. He was the only guy on the block.
He was. Seriously. Like, you want stop-motion skeletons and shit? He's the guy you go to. Number 3 on the list, Spartacus, 1960.
Oh, shit.
He is.
Oh, my God. I like it in real quick, when Ralphie goes on, like, this crazy gladiator craze in Sopranos, and then he watches Spartacus, and he's like, they didn't have hair gel back then! And he gets all pissed off. Oh, my God. It's so funny. He's like, no gladiator combs their hair! This is bullshit. Oh, it was funny. Anyway, continue.
Number 2 is the 1959 version of Ben-Hur.
Oh, shit.
Which is a pretty gigantic, big, epic movie for that period. But, I mean, the original made in, like, the 20s or 30s, whenever the first version was made, that was pretty gigantic, too. Like, literally cast of thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently read Ben-Hur not so long ago.
Did you?
I actually How did. Was my uncle, he gave me, like, a really, really old version of it for Christmas. Actually, it's pretty good. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I imagine it would be. Number 1 on the list, this one you probably wouldn't guess. It is, actually. Gladiator 2000. I agree that I think it's a pretty good movie, but with a list of, like, all these classic movies, to put that movie on number 1, that's cool.
Well, it's incredibly historically accurate, according to my Greek and Roman literature professor, who was obsessed with Gladiator. She loved talking about that movie.
And it's a rad movie.
Lots of attention to detail.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And it won a trillion Academy Awards. I'd buy that.
No Conan the Barbarian anywhere to be seen. No Beastmaster.
Those are classified as sword and sorcery.
Sword and the Sorcerer.
That was terrible. Sword and the Sorcerer.
That's a different genre. They call them sword and sorcery films.
Yeah, I maybe I'll find a list for that one next week, because I like the sword and sorcery movies.
Beastmaster.
That movie's terrible. Dude. Jafar.
Yeah. Ripped Sword and the Sorcerer has that badass sword that shoots out its blades.
Yeah.
It's like freaking. It's like the sword from Zelda. Yeah, it's like Zelda, man.
Oh, shit. Sword and the Sorcerer. I remember renting that. That was like one of the first movies we ever rented.
I remember it was on like every Sunday afternoon when I was growing up. I swear to God, it was always on TV. Always.
Top 10 great sword and sorcery films.
And then at the end of the movie, at the very beginning of the end credits, it says, I don't remember what the main character's name was, but we'll return in part 2, Tales of an Ancient Empire.
Talon?
And that Talon, that's it, yes. Oh, what an excellent memory you have.
I do. I've seen that movie 1,000 times.
Yeah, it's like Talon will return in Tales of an Ancient Empire. And then that movie never got made. And then fast forward 30 years later, and they finally make it, starring Kevin Sorbo. But the guy who originally played Talon, whose name escapes me, is in the movie. As we were reprising his character's role, I guess, is just like an older, kinglier version of him. But here's the thing. The movie is so terrible and incomplete. It was literally released incomplete. They have like these really bad kind of animated segments, like, for scenes that were never shot, and they have these two kind of fools standing in front of a white screen kind of describing what should be happening. It's terrible. It's so bad. And I'm like, how in the hell did they afford to get Kevin Sorbo to make any kind of appearance in this movie?
Why but not have at that
the $100 it would have taken to finish making the movie? It's so unbelievably bad. And it wasn't streaming on Netflix. I actually had to get the disc. But I just remember wanting to see that movie from childhood. So when it finally was released, I was so excited, only to be just kicked in the nuts. So terrible.
Crushed.
I'm sorry. It's just bad. And I think the same director even came back to do it. It was like he had retired. He'd been out of the business for like 30 years and came back to make this movie. I'm like, you know what? You, sir, are rusty.
Richard Mole was in it. Bull from Red Court.
He was.
That movie's fucking stupid.
Sword and Sorcery next week.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's cool though is
Duelist.
Oh, Sword and Sorcery. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh man, I like this. Like Conan, forget about it. And the music in Conan, whew, it's inspiring.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh jeez. Oh, I have a fun game for us.
Oh yeah. Let's see. Oh, I like fun games.
It's a Star Trek game.
Ooh.
I know, right?
I might be in trouble.
No. It's pretty much going to be a fair game because what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a character's name pronounced backwards, though, and you just got to tell me who it is.
I don't like it when it's fair.
Right. So, and a lot of these names are pretty silly, so it should be pretty even.
Okay.
Same rules apply to where you only get one guess if you guess wrong, so shout it out when you know it. Just be smart about it. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Everyone's awake. Everyone's alert.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here we go. Number one. This would be Drasip Kolnage.
Say it again.
Drasip Kolnage.
Janeway?
No.
Oh, Jean-Luc Picard.
Perfect. Amanda gets it.
Wow. I was stuck on Nage. I'm like, it's Dick Jane?
All right. Ulis Yuraki.
Oh, Hikarusuru.
Perfect.
I couldn't remember his first name.
Amanda has two. All right.
I can think backwards.
Right. All right. Ikraf Al Idrog.
Geordi LaForge.
Ooh, I heard Amanda first. Very good, both of you, though. And has three.
I'm like, what?
Let's see.
My mind just doesn't work this way, I guess. I'm like, I don't have a clue.
Let's see here. How do I say this? Tox Irong Nagam.
Chakotay.
No.
Montgomery Scott.
Perfect.
Dang.
Oh, my and God.
Four.
See, what I need is, like, a piece of paper and a pen so I can be, like, writing this out and trying to sound it out.
You can't do this in your head?
No. It's too late for that.
All right, number five. Racerk Yelsu. Or it could be Racerk Yelso, I guess.
Yelso.
Yelsu.
I'll try to think of, like, Oz.
I'll give you a hint. He's a fan favorite amongst geeks.
This does not help.
He shows up at conventions all the time. He's on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, Will Crusher.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Wesley Crusher.
Oh!
Yeah, it's Wesley Crusher.
Will Wheaton.
That's why I said I'll take it. This is a fun one, too. Okay. Oh, I don't even know how to say it myself. Zad Azdaj.
Jadzia Dax.
Perfect.
Mm.
Jadzia Dax. Amanda has five. You're killing it. All right. This is kind of an easy one. All right. Rakir Malweedle.
Oh, William T. Riker.
Perfect.
I don't think you said the T, though.
I didn't. I just played over here.
Oh, okay.
But I'll take, you'll get full credit for that. That's fine. Okay, number eight. Oxys Nimajenib.
Cisco.
Perfect. David.
I got two in my wheelhouse that I'm waiting for.
I was like, were you waiting for Cisco?
That's one of my waiting. Like,
in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, serious.
I just wasn't sure if you'd remember his name was Benjamin Cisco. That's the only thing. All right. Number nine. Crick Cement.
Kirk. That was my other one.
Funny. David has three. Man has six. All right, number 10.
Like George from Seinfeld, I'm out.
Yeah, that's it for me. Number 10. Resab Nelju.
Julian Bashir.
Perfect.
Oh.
Randy.
Yeah, you got on the doctor? Board.
Yeah, Randy has one. Julian Bashir is correct. Yeah, he was the doctor on Deep Space Nine. who plays like an Iraqi terrorist in other movies.
Yeah. When you're seeing Recep, I was thinking it like R-E.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's no one called Basser. I don't get it. Oh, no, it was Bashir.
All right. And the bonus.
He's so cute. I loved him.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. He's the moral compass on that show. Until he kills somebody. Doesn't he kill somebody? He was all nice and friendly. And then
I think at some point he gets a little dark.
Yeah. Bonus question. Are you ready?
Ready.
Born ready.
Enin Phonevs.
Oh, 7 of 9.
Perfect. 7 of 9. That was the one Voyager one. It was a bonus.
I was waiting for Yawinaj. That's Janeway.
Oh, she was almost it, but I changed my mind. At the last second, at the very bottom of the IMDb page, I saw fucking 7 of 9. I was like, that's what it's going to be. And I erased. I backspaced Janeway.
Dang it.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was waiting for Kirk. I'm like, it's coming. It's coming. It's Crick. It's Crick.
It's Crick. Riker's easy, too.
Yeah.
I thought I did it wrong at first when I typed it. I'm like, God damn it. I'm just sucking at this. And I was like, oh, no way. It's basically just the same letters over again. Amanda killed it. 7. She knows her Star Trek. Frontwards and backwards.
Nerd alert.
I don't have the tattoo to prove it.
Oh, shit. Got a tattoo of Bashir.
Now you can't go to Jewish.
Yeah, I got Bashir's face tattooed.
Sweet.
Well, where did you get it?
Medical advice.
On my arm, like sailors do.
Shit.
You know, like they put like mom.
With a heart around it.
Like an anchor. Yeah.
Or an anchor.
I think it'd be funny if the Enterprise had an anchor.
Okay, thanks again for joining us for the Geek Legacy podcast. We'd like to thank our guest, Jonathan Bigelow, again for coming to talk to us about his daily comic, Stairwell, which you can find at stairwellonline.com. And as always, remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can check out our other amazing podcasts at geeklegacy.com. Be sure to check out Pixelated Podcast and Comic Corner as well. And we'll see you guys next week.